What's going on, guys? I'm Alex. Welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. With me, as always, is my boy, Stephen Ellis.
Hi, Alex.
And you know, dressed to the nine in championship attire, it is Cisco Kid.
What's up? But they lost tonight, and I'm bummed because they lost.
It's probably because you have all their good mojo on your clothes.
I wore it all,
You have too much mojo. I wasted it. You let them have a little.
I wasted it too early in the season.
The Lakers won by 400 points their first five games, and then they just started losing every single game. What happened? We're going to go live to Francisco Aranga to find out what he thinks happened with the mojo, and you're just covered in Laker shit.
Yep.
To be fair, it feels like they just won the championship, though.
They kind of did.
They kind of did. It was in November.
Guys, it's our last episode of the month of new. That was a weird theme.
I enjoyed it, but it also was short because we were only here for like 2 weeks.
I know. Maybe it's a new, it'll be weird to be onto a new month next month, but let's check in. Steve, how are the resolutions, my friend?
We're steady, a little too steady for my liking though. I did not gain any weight this past week. However, I did not lose any weight this week. So, Monday morning was a little bit of like, you get up, you're feeling good. You've peed like six times in the middle of the night because you're properly hydrated. You're sleeping good. You're feeling like you've been doing everything right. You force out that morning constitution. So that way you can, you know, everything's light. You make sure you don't take a sip of anything before you get on there.
That's precious weight.
It's precious. You step on that scale and then it just goes.
Oh, that's what it sounds like too.
But after that, it was like, you know, I took, you know, went for a walk and was like, all right, you know, gonna just keep going and keep drinking water and not stop what I'm doing. And I think it just means that, you know, I've got to now get up to that point of making sure I get those 500 calories a day added on top of the walk. And, you know, it's just got to keep going and stick with it. So.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. How about you guys?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I got some stuff accomplished this week. I watched Wonder Woman 84 over the weekend.
Oh, how was it? Oh.
You know what? I didn't think it was as bad as most people are making it sound. It didn't fall into the good or bad or like good or terrible category for me. I kind of feel like I enjoyed it as much as the first one. With some of the same issues that I had with the first one. But overall, I think the performances are actually really good. Like, I really like all of the performances from Gal, Pedro, Chris, and even Kristen. I think that they were all really, really strong. The movie itself isn't like my favorite, but I found myself actually pretty entertained by it.
It sticks to it being a superhero movie of the 80s, in my opinion. Like,
yeah. Oh, everything. Yeah. It's super 80s cheese.
And like I think the opening prologue of it is really great and is probably.
Oh, see,
the
I didn't like that.
Okay.
Oh, see, well, actually, there's two things about that, right? Yeah. I did like the idea of it.
Yeah.
But one of my big issues with the movie, and this is like not just of this movie, but of most of the DCEU movies, is that I feel like there's something missing from the VFX when the superheroes are like superheroing.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
It just doesn't feel like it has the right weight or like it exists in a reality that like the movies exist in.
Yes.
And we're spoiled by the VFX and the Marvel movies, which all pull them off really well. And the DC movies just haven't gotten that right yet. It's very like, it takes me out of the movie.
I would go on to say that the and this doesn't need to be the Wonder Woman 84 show, but
yeah,
I will say that, this did not feel for even though this was pushed back because of COVID and everything, it didn't feel like the effects were up to
like
par.
It
felt like it didn't benefit from the thing. But I will say that since it is the month of new and sort of also trying to stay positive, I will say that I did enjoy the sort of nod to the Donner movies in sort of that that second opening scene at the mall.
Was
very, very Richard Donner-esque.
There's another one later when she's running.
Right.
When she's running, that's like a
right. kind of thing.
So to move on from 84, Wonder Woman 84, I also made two cool purchases. One that actually has to do with what we're going to talk about. I don't know if it's in this episode or the next episode, but it's either way, it's one of them. So this isn't it, but this is something that I'm very happy about that came in today.
Oh. Look at that. We got our
Steelbook
4K Top Gun.
Yeah. Top Gun.
You're ready. 4K Steelbook. Did you get your 4K TV yet, or are you prepping?
It's something that we've been discussing in the last couple of days. So Mike,
well, buddy, you give me a text when you're ready to talk, my friend. I will need you.
We're going to get the LG OLED. I just don't know.
That's the right choice.
Yeah, buddy.
So then this is the one that I'm super stoked about because there was a restock of it.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, it's probably already sold out.
Well, no, check out Best Buy because they had them. Like I went and picked it up from my local.
Oh, man, that looks great.
It's so cool. I love this.
Did we say
so it's the Into the Spider-Verse Steelbook for the people listening.
The Best Buy Steelbook, yeah.
Oh, it looks great. That's a little sneak peek. That's all we're going to tell you about what we're doing next week. That's all you get to hear next week. Spider-Verse stuff. Let's see. I'm officially finished my second week of Athletic Greens. My boys, let me tell you, my diet has like changed. My cravings are almost gone. Mm. Like I don't crave snacks. Like I was craving like 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I just am sort of like, yeah, it's cool. Grab some lunch, then have dinner. And you're like, yeah, I'm good. Sometimes I have like a scoop of peanut butter before bed, but really I've kind of like really mellowed on the snacking. I think it's just because like that nutrient bomb, like first thing in the morning, your body's just like, all right, I'm good. I'm good for the day. So whatever you're doing now is just energy at this point. Doesn't have a nutritional value. It does, but I don't need you to go and intake like a giant salad and then have like a granola bar and beef jerky and all the stuff that I would normally snack on, which I'll tell you what is making working long hours hard because snacks make that a little bit easier, I feel like. But it's been good. I watched Minari this weekend. It's great. Fantastic movie. Steven Yeun is stellar. And I also watched The Sound of Metal. The Riz Ahmed.
Yeah. That's on Prime, right?
Yes. It is on Prime. Okay. It's great. Sound of Metal's great. It is not for the faint of heart.
Sure.
That is not the kind of movie that is, you know, just turn on. Neither of them are really. I think Minari is very A24 in the sense that it definitely has a lot of humorous elements to it, but some very profound themes that are complicated and stressful, and there are icky feelings in it. But I think the movie itself is the whole is like a really fun family story. That's a really great like 2.5 hours. I know none of you can watch it at home because I have a screener, but it is great. When it does come out, I would highly recommend Minari. And then other than that, I got the Scott Pilgrim video game that Cisco and I are going to find time to play together.
That was the other thing I forgot to mention. My daughter got a sort of a late Christmas gift. She got a Nintendo Switch. And so I was sort of going through the Nintendo eShop and seeing what they had available. And I saw that and I was like, wait a minute, is this? And so then I looked it up and I saw that it was available on PS4 too. So then I hit up my boy Xander to see what if he had played it already or not. And so now I'm into it. I'm gonna have to download it.
I had the old like Xbox 360 one.
Right.
And it's hard. It's a hard game to play by yourself. It's fun with a group of people. So when you text me, I was like, oh, for sure. It's Steve. It's like an old, like, remember the game Streets of Rage?
Oh yeah.
It's basically Scott Pilgrim Streets of Rage.
I feel like I've seen screen grabs or video of it or something before.
It looks cool, man.
It's awesome. It's like a 16-bit style. You walk up and down the streets of Canada and you just smash hipsters in the face with like bats. It really is just like hipsters come up and they're like, and you just battle them with all your friends. And then it's great. I'm excited to play. I know Cody as well. When I told Cody, I'm like, hey, Cisco's getting it. He's like, bro, gonna get on that. I was like, okay, cool. So I think we'll have to find some time to just like, we'll like make a night of it where we just smash it, because it's not a hard, we can probably get through it in a night if we were just to push through it. Just got to be fueled by Mountain Dew and Doritos, but we can get it done.
Nah, bro, just hit those athletic
drinks. I was gonna say Mountain Dew and poutine.
Ooh, Mountain Dew and what is it called, all everything or allspice Canadian Ruffles. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No,
I haven't seen those.
Oh, what are they called? There are any Canadians listening, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm looking it up right now. I'm just like Canadian Ruffles. I think they're called, they have obviously, All Dressed. Yeah, they're called All Dressed. And it's, they have that, and they have ketchup flavored Ruffles are very Canadian. Wow.
I have these on standby right now.
I don't know what All Dressed flavor is. It's like
lime and jalapeno,
vinegar and hot sauce.
Look at Cisco rocking the lime and jalapeno Ruffles.
Oh, damn. Those look pretty good.
I haven't been able to mess with them. And I was tonight's definitely not the night, because I've got the Ring of Fire happening right now. And
tonight's definitely not the night.
Buddy, just open up that freezer, grab that tub of vanilla, open up the cap, drop your
pants. Oh, that'll make it worse.
Drop your pants and just sit that brown eye right on that vanilla.
Ooh.
It'll keep it not, it's the cure, let me tell you.
Ooh.
Just let it just sit and soak it up.
Why would you put that visual in my head?
Because the smile on your face is priceless.
You heard it here first, guys. When Steve has diarrhea, the first thing he does is slather vanilla ice cream.
No, not slather. Not slather.
And then he wakes up the next morning, goes on the scale, and he hears. Oh, what does he hear when he goes on the scale? With vanilla ice cream in his butthole.
That's the noise right there in my butthole makes. But it's gotta be the big plastic tub from like Smart and Final, though.
Oh, I was gonna say, is it the Thrifty's pint?
It's not a pint, it's the big plastic with the red like handle so that you have
you need the container to be able to support some weight, or else you're just gonna smash the pint. I think it sounds like everybody's staying focused, staying ready to go, staying on it. You know, we're sticking with it. We're trying to live that positive lifestyle. I thought our episode last week with Ken was great. Just sort of like exercising some demons for him and talking about what our goals are personally. So, you know, it's the last, I think this is the first week where we're back to kind of pop culture news and maybe not a lot of actual current news. And this is going to be a nice change of pace. So Steve.
Yeah, Alex.
What's going on this week in the new news? Hey Steve, what's going on this week in new news?
Hey Alex, you ever heard of a place called GameStop?
You know, I have.
Do you play the stock market?
I don't play the stock market.
Well, would you say that GameStop is a flourishing company, especially these days where people are locked at home and more digital downloads of video games? What would you, if you had to predict the future of GameStop, would you say that that's a smart invest?
I would say it's not a smart invest. I would say that GameStop's probably floundering with its customer base, but something tells me you're going to tell me different when it comes to its stock prices.
So if I told you they started the year at roughly $20 a share and at like close of this evening, we're like at $350 a share, would you say, wow, what has GameStop done to turn around their business?
I would say, are they re-airing my commercials where I'm the spokesperson for GameStop?
Sadly, they are not.
Okay.
It turns out a group of GameStop, you might see people we follow on Twitter all of a sudden talking about stock portfolios and investing. And it's sort of like, what the, you have no business talking about this. Why are you guys?
I have no business talking about what we're about to talk about.
Well, I just think it's interesting and it's funny because it's sort of the world we're living in now. You know, our favorite place called Reddit. Thankfully we've avoided it this entire time of doing our show. There's Reddit groups. There's one that has to do with stocks and so forth. And for the last like 6 or 7 months, they've turned memes of GameStop into let's invest in GameStop. And let's basically, do you know what short selling a stock is?
I know it's
I watched
Go ahead, Cisco.
Cisco, explain this.
I watched The Wolf of Wall Street, so I think I have a sort of an understanding of
short selling stuff. So Margot Robbie, the big joke that everybody went out today with was the Margot Robbie trying to explain this thing. Even The Daily Show tonight, as we're recording, did a bit.
Oh, that's in The Big Short.
Yeah, that is Margot Robbie.
Yeah, yeah, in The Big Short.
I thought Margot Robbie was in the bathtub in
The Big Short.
Wait, I thought Margot Robbie is in the bathtub in... You're right. She is in The Big Short. You're right. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me there.
That's not what we're talking about. Yes. Because in The Big Short, she does that whole explanation The Big Short.
Basically, he's also in The Wolf. Basically, War. Alex, let's say you own a stock. I think that it's going to tank and your shares right now are at $100 a share. I borrow from you 10 of those shares and then I sell them for $100 a share because I think it's going to tank. And then I give them back to you because the stock has dropped to 90. I get to basically give you back your stocks and I get to pocket the $10 for every share. So I earned $100 on that. Does that make sense?
Does. Yes.
Great. So basically a lot of big hedge funds, they short sell it with big numbers stocks and they make a quick, you know, fortune on it. Well, an entire group of domestic, just regular daily investors on Reddit got together and they fucking, they knew that this stock was going to tank or whatever, but they wanted to say fuck you to these big corporate hedge funds. And they drove this stock all the way up to the point where some of them like had to close up business today because now they're billions of dollars in debt. Because they tried short selling this fucking stock of GameStop, and it's like people are going nuts. Now the sad thing about it is a lot of people who caught on to this a little bit late probably invested a lot of money, and they're not going to see a return on it, unfortunately, because it's not exactly a very safe thing to do.
I find that smart investing is always whatever's trending on Twitter and Reddit.
Right.
You definitely want to follow what fucking nerds are talking about.
I mean, I think it's funny that, like, you know, they fucked over all these hedge fund guys and all that shit and whatever. But
for sure.
Because but the that's what the hedge fund guys do all the time.
Now that the joke's over, you're like, and even.
Well, they're doing it now as we speak. They're doing it to AMC.
I know. I saw that and I was like, come on. It's like, I'm like, I mean, it's cool. A lot of people are going to make a lot of fucking money, but also a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah. But when I saw GameStop trending this morning, I thought, oh my God, is Alex in a new commercial? And
no,
sadly,
dude, I don't book commercials anymore. I'm too old. I'm too weird. I got a long beard. I'm not appealing anymore, man. I got vitiligo on my hands. Ain't nothing. You can eat no sandwich with no white spots on your hand, dog. My acting career is done.
Speaking of eating, Ghostbusters Afterlife, you're looking forward to it.
Looking forward blockbuster of the year.
We got to look at like a new ghost called Muncher.
Yeah, it's weird. It was my nickname in college.
I don't know what to make of this.
Face, you guys, the audience can't see the face that Alex made. It disturbed me to my core.
Is it more disturbing than this Muncher guy? Like, Jesus Christ. Is this real? Ice cream. Is this real?
More disturbing than your ice cream story.
Hey, man. Brown Eye for
it
life.
It is real. I think it was like for like Portugal MasterChef Junior, they did like a Ghostbusters episode and they were like, and introducing Muncher, the new ghost from Ghostbusters Afterlife. I was like, this is a fucking weird ass way to fucking introduce a Ghostbusters character.
It's like if somebody was to do Max Rebo.
It's like Max Rebo and Slimer fucked it up.
It's really weird. But like if you molded it in like art class with clay.
Yeah, but remember, that's not from the movie. That's like a display on the set of like Portugal MasterChef Junior. That's why it's so weird. It's not even in the movie. It's like a sculpture that was like for a presentation about the movie as a promotional thing on MasterChef. At least I think I understood it correctly. That's what the Slash Film dudes were saying.
It's on MasterChef Junior. It doesn't say anything about Portugal or anything. It might be done here in the States, but
I don't think so. I watched it. No,
ooh,
it
there's, was, a toy fair. There's a Toy Fair thing. This one? Did you guys see this one?
Oh, no. That Muncher?
Muncher, like in the name right
munching
there.
Munching on something.
He's always munching.
All right.
Munching. Big munch. Munchy munch.
Munch it, away.
I like it. It has. It definitely has the spirit of the 80s movies. It's a little bit more of the spirit of the cartoons of the 80s, I would say. I wonder, I could already see like Alex Rubens' eyes rolling so far to the back of his head when he heard the name Muncher. For that, he probably was just like, oh, I hate the cartoons. Like, he just strikes me as like, yeah, dude, he looks like Max Rebo, Slimer, and Kingpin all got smashed together into one thing. But I mean, I think it looks cool. Listen, I hope we're probably not far out from a trailer for that. I'm assuming.
I would assume we're going to get something here soon.
Because we got that teaser a year ago. It was like a year ago around this time, assuming the movie was coming in July. Now it's coming in July of this year, which I would hope by that time, judging by AMC's stock, I would say theaters could be open by mid-July.
Oh, boy, is this real? Oh, my God. Alex might have to get off his diet.
What is that?
Ghostbusters Twinkies?
Twinkies Muncher Madness. And it's a Twinkie with a blue icing filling.
Wait, is Muncher the new Porg? What's going on here?
Muncher Madness.
How much you want to bet Muncher becomes their friend and Muncher like rolls with them?
Key lime slime.
That I'm in. I'm already in for that. I'm in for that. Dude, the last Ghostbusters movie that came out, I got so many like treats and they were all bad.
The Ecto Coolers?
Ecto Cooler was great. I got cans of that shit from fucking Amazon. But I got the Krispy Kreme donuts. You remember that, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
I got Krispy Kreme donuts. I got those tweets. Sarah was just like, dude, with the fucking promotional products for this movie.
Get those.
Listen, I actually wouldn't be it. Listen, those are sexy. You could have a lot. You could do some munching with those.
I'm willing to bet he's already got those, Cisco.
Those aren't for me, baby.
Oh, you know what I'm saying, dog? It's getting very inappropriate.
What are you talking about? His name's Muncher. I don't know what on earth.
What is this?
What is that? Ghostbuster Puff Mallows?
Marshmallow?
Puff Mallows.
I mean, that's just
a marshmallow.
That's a duh on branding, though, right?
Dude, but it looks a delicious. Soft mallow enrobed in white chalk flavored coating.
Woo! Delish.
Not going to lie, not a big white chocolate fan over here.
Me either, but I'd eat that.
When it's got Stay Puff branding, fucking count me.
I'd munch my way through that.
Hey, are you guys excited to see Harrison Ford return to Indiana Jones?
Honestly?
Honestly.
Not really. He's too old. I hope he's in the movie, but I don't think he should be having an adventure.
Yeah, I feel like he should be like the Sean Connery, the dad.
Yeah, like I'm having flashbacks to Robert De Niro acting like a young gangster in The Irishman, where like his body would just, yeah, it's just you get old. It's not a dig. It's like Harrison Ford is in my opinion, the greatest movie star of all fucking time. Like him, Will Smith, and who else would you put in that category, Tom guys? Cruise. Tom Cruise.
I mean, those three. I did dudes. A Terminator, and I'm about to watch Terminator 2 rewatch this
Schwarzenegger.
Week.
Schwarzenegger like, is two, yes.
Like, but no, yeah, I mean, like Han Solo is for sure up there. I mean, he's got two of the most iconic characters of all time.
Harrison Ford has, I guess Harrison Ford, what I love about Harrison Ford, which is different from, I think Will Smith and Harrison Ford are more alike because their style was those like action blockbuster comedies, like these franchise things they would lift up. Tom Cruise is straight up like an A-list. Sure. Tom Cruise is, you know, that's another level. Like they're not even on Tom Cruise.
It's not
level.
The thing I always say about Tom Cruise is and I'm one of those guys that are like, I'm not a big fan of him outside of movies, but, and I really don't want to like his movies. But the number one thing I always remember about Tom Cruise was it wasn't, oh, we're going to go see Jerry Maguire or, oh, we're going to go see the new Mission Impossible. It was, hey, we're going to go catch the new Tom Cruise flick.
Yeah.
Like that's what it always was to me growing up. So like to reach that level of international star, that's what it is. Like that you can't beat that. And it's almost like something where I feel like I don't know that there's anyone like that today in the new crop of stars, or if there will ever will be again.
I don't know if there ever really was anybody like that. You know, I don't know that there's ever been anybody sort of like Tom Cruise's career that anybody's enjoyed or enjoyed that kind of success at that kind of level of fame.
And, I mean, Will Smith came really close. And
yeah,
he, and but he did, and he did hit it for a second,
but not with the consistency that Tom Cruise has box office wise, right? Like, you know, the number of hits versus misses is like he's batting staggering. Like 750. Yeah. You know, he's like a Ted Williams numbers.
I think Will Smith in the 90s was batting higher, and slowly and slowly and slowly he kind of chipped away. I think, and again, Will Smith is a genius. I'm hardly here to criticize the man's career, but I think there were just questionable script choices.
I personally, I think the difference is I don't think I think that Tom Cruise has made some choices that put him in awards contenders, but in my opinion, it was never obvious that he was doing a movie to get an award. And I feel like Will Smith has made some choices where it's like, oh, he's trying to win an Oscar here.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, that I think that Will Smith might be a better actor, you know what I mean? And have more range, but Tom Cruise has the bankability, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like the every movie that he does, whether it's good or bad, is going to make a bunch of money for the most part. Even that Mummy movie made a bunch of money, and it was a terrible, you know,
it was awful.
Yeah.
So, but like, you know, I mean, I could think about the last three blockbusters that Will Smith did where they bombed, you know what I mean? Like nobody watched them because they just,
hey, Bad Boys 3, like, Bad Boys 3.
I'm talking like Gemini Man or,
what was that Netflix one? Bright?
Yeah. Bright.
Bright.
Yeah, I don't know. After Earth.
The funny thing about Tom Cruise is even some of his ones that don't hit are really good. They just don't hit for some reason. Like a great example is Edge of Tomorrow. That movie is incredible.
It's so good. Yeah. I mean, they're doing a sequel. You know what I mean? So,
thank God, because it's awesome.
I actually liked him in Jack Reacher.
Yeah, I've never seen those movies, but
I wasn't a fan of Jack Reacher.
But Jack Reacher is one of those things that means like that's an HBO rainy Saturday movie.
Is the Krasinski show any good?
Your fucking categories. Jack Ryan. I love your categories.
Oh, Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan. I like Jack Ryan, but I've also always sort of weirdly liked those movies, like from Hunt for Red October to Clear and Present Danger to bring it back to Harrison Ford and Patriot Games.
Right.
I wasn't a fan of the Ben Affleck one. Chris Pine one was fine.
That was Sum of All Fears, right?
Right.
The Ben Affleck one.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but I like what Krasinski's done with it.
Baby.
Reindeer Games. anyways, the reason I brought up, I enjoyed that conversation. I could keep it going. The reason I brought up Indiana Jones is because, you know, James Mangold is writing and he's also taking over the mantle for directing from Spielberg. And he recently tweeted that The Velvet Underground are fucking great. That's it. That's my tweet. No, I'm mentally living in 60s New York City right now because that's where all the movies I'm working on take place. So then the internet lit up, and now they're thinking that Indiana Jones 5 is going to take place in 1960s New York.
So that make him like 70, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that that's fine. And I like James Mangold as a director. So, you know, I think that the movie, I have faith that it's got potential to be good. I'm ready to move on from Harrison Ford being Indiana Jones. I understand he's still alive, so give him his due respect. I hope that they do it in a way where we can kind of like give him his flowers, as they say now.
But man, to be like an 80-year-old, like an 80, I mean, to think of an 80-year-old actor that is still able to do, like,
you know what I was
an action
about?
Movie, like what we were talking about with Tom Cruise and Will Smith. It's like, I mean, that's for the history books right there.
Yeah. I don't know that he's going to be able to, because I mean, I think about what he looked like in Force Awakens and then what he looked like in the few seconds that we saw him in Rise of Skywalker. And he didn't look like he could do any action anymore. I mean, who knows? He's Harrison Ford, so maybe, but he's looking a little frail.
He just, it's just like Robert Downey Jr. in The Irishman. I mean, Robert Downey Jr., Robert De Niro in The Irishman. Like, there's that great scene where he shoots up the diner, but like, also it looks like he's just kind of like, oh, excuse me, kind of hobbling out. And you're like, it's like, dude, of course, like, bro, at that age, I am not going to be that spry. This is not a judgment in this. It's just, it is what it is.
Kidding me? I have to use the Hyper Ice on my ankle every morning before I go for just a casual 3-mile walk in my neighborhood. No.
We were literally just talking about how we get stomach aches from ice cream, and we're here judging there. It's not about judgment. It's just the truth. Like, what I want is the Indiana Jones franchise to get rejuvenated and get exciting and get like have a reason to go to the theaters and make great Indiana Jones adventures. And I think that one more Harrison Ford one, and however you want to make the move, we get to a place where it's like, Indiana Jones, the world building, and then we've got a new character.
I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction here. And I have not heard anything. I don't know anybody on the inside, but I am going to make a prediction here. And Alex, I told you this a couple months ago. I think that'll be a passing of the baton. It will not be Mutt. It will be a female. It will be a daughter of some sort, and it will be The Adventures of Marion Jones.
Let's do it.
I'm on board. That's what I think it's going to be.
That's like saying, I think Tom Brady's a good quarterback. I would say that was like, with all due respect, that prediction is like saying, I think it's going to be 75 degrees and sunny in Los Angeles in March. You're 1,000% right. If I was a betting man, I would bet on it being Marion Jones.
You wouldn't short sale that stock?
Nah, man, I would say that's pretty much a buy. That's pretty much a buy.
That's a blue chip stock. That's not a penny stock.
Okay, good. James, speaking of tweets and a different James, James Gunn said, don't worry. Someone asked him, do I need to have watched the first Suicide Squad to understand what's going on in the second one? And apparently you do not need to watch the first Suicide Squad, even though it has people from the first
one. So can I unsee it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that if you could figure out a way to do that, I'd say let's package that and market it and sell that to people. If they could somehow wipe their memory of memories they don't want,
that would be amazing.
David Ayer, speaking of what was the Will Smith movie you guys brought up? Bright.
Yeah.
But Bright. Cisco's other fantastic favorite person that he wants to be locked up with Joe Buck and Bill Simmons is Max Landis. So, you know, we'll throw him in the room with Cisco because he wrote Bright as well.
The worst. He's actually worse than both of those guys. Like, legitimately worse. Like a worse human being than both of those guys.
Those are worse guys. Those are bad guys on a sports level. This is like bad guy on a bad guy level.
Yeah. He's just like a bad human being. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all I got, but I don't know. What do you guys else want? You guys want to talk about? Is there something else we all watched we want to talk about?
Oh yeah, episode 3.
You want to talk about episode 3?
Let's break down.
Should we have a episode? You want to do it as a conversation with ourselves?
Yeah, sure. Let's have a conversation with ourselves about WandaVision episode 3. I love this show. I think it's great. And I think they're doing a really, really good job. Talk amongst yourselves. Co-sign.
I co-sign, ditto, all of that.
It's fun, man. It's a fun show.
Oh, man.
So we moved into late 60s, early 70s, this appears to be, right? Or was this like late 70s?
This is like Brady Bunch. This is like 60s into 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. This was the Brady Bunch era. This was cool, man. It's a really fun show.
It's weirdly making me nostalgic for when I was a kid watching. I mean, even, you know, past being a kid, but being a kid and watching reruns before school on TBS in the mornings and watching those Brady Bunches and those Bewitched and Into Three's Company and all that stuff. Like, it's making me want to go back and watch all those old shows again.
What was your favorite old show? I'll give you two. You're allowed two old shows. Cisco, do you have one? I have my two. My two easy. What do you got?
Adam's Family, number one. Right?
Amazing choice.
And then number two, I think, was I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
So all right.
Good. Yeah.
Steve?
My first memory of being hooked on a TV show, and it's something I still to this day will buy stuff from, is Batman 66. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, there's something about that as a kid that I would wake up, my dad would give me my hot chocolate, and I'd have my Bert and Ernie slippers on, and like, I'd watch an hour of that, and just, I don't know, I've always loved it, and I've always picked it up. The other one, man, this is hard. I love Bewitched.
Bewitched?
I loved Gilligan's Island. Like, this is Gilligan's hard for
Island
me.
Gilligan's Island is mine.
It's too hard for me. Three's Company.
Gilligan's Island, Three's Company.
Three's That's Company a good for me, yeah. Three's Company. Mr. Furley, Mr. Roper, yeah.
Without question, Gilligan's Island and the Andy Griffith Show.
Nice.
Nice. When I was just a quick aside, when I was thinking about Adam's Family right now, it always makes me think of this.
Oh, yeah.
Wednesday.
I wish I had the swagger of that Wednesday gif. This is the swagger.
Wednesday and Lurch just going ham. Oh, man. You know, it's funny. You know, I'm older than you guys. So during the summers, it was our ritual was, my parents had a pool or have a pool at their house, right? So my brother and I, who's 3 years younger than me, our ritual was we'd get up pretty early. We would swim, and then we would take a break in the middle of the day when it started to get like lunchtime. We would eat and watch like That's Incredible. I don't know if you guys remember that show, but there was this show when I was growing up called That's Incredible. And then it was Twilight Zone, always in the middle of the day. But throughout the day, we would just leave it on whatever channel it was that would have syndicated old shows. So it would be like Adam's Family or Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie, whatever. I Love Lucy. And we would kind of just leave them on. So it's weird. You know, I remember loving all of these shows and watching them like crazy, but I don't remember a lot about, like, you know, like specifics about them. You know what I mean? Like where I'm like, I don't remember like a specific episode other than like some of the classics from I Love Lucy, which are like unforgettable, you know, but yeah, I just remember just watching a ton of these old shows and being super entertained by them. And that's something that I feel like, unfortunately, you don't get anymore. You know what I mean? Like nobody gets to revisit those old shows because there's always some new content that's just like,
I feel like maybe kids are today because of Netflix and Hulu and whatnot. I feel
I don't think any of those shows are on those things though. You kind of, they show up on like TV Land, I guess maybe. I don't know if they are streaming on anything, but
I know Andy Griffith was on Netflix. I think it still is. Yeah. Gilligan's Island's not. But you could get all those for like $10 though.
Right.
If you want the whole series, you can just buy it for like $10 and you can watch it. A full disclosure, the last time I wanted to watch Gilligan's Island, I was like, I'm going to get fucking ripped and watch Gilligan's Island and see if it's the funniest thing I've ever watched. And I never did it. Maybe I'll make that my weekend mission to see if it really is like as funny as I remember it being as a kid. Cause it was pretty good.
Yeah.
That shit was funny.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, it was, Thurston Howell, right? The third.
Yeah.
Thurston Howell, the third. Lovey.
Oh, Lovey. Oh my God. Dude, it's funny. Cause that's the thing that WandaVision is making me realize is just how much television I watched, because I go from like, I literally would wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning with my dad and I would literally watch, it would change year to year, but I literally would watch like Happy Days. I Love, I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched, Dick Van Dyke, Little House on the Prairie, Batman 66. But then I would even get into like WKRP Cincinnati and Benson and Mr. Belvedere and just like this, this WandaVision is making me realize how much sitcom, like old sitcom television, I literally had a healthy diet of for breakfast before going to school every morning.
Yeah.
It's funny because I think the three of us used to do, and a lot of people our age in the way that people binge The Office now, or just put like The Office on repeat on Netflix, that's what syndication was, right? It was these morning opportunities where it was like, oh, there are six or seven channels that do old television in the morning, and you can pick which one you want to watch. And I don't remember which one did Gilligan's Island, but it was without question Andy Griffith and Gilligan's Island.
TBS,
but I also remember
that.
Which one did it?
TBS did that.
TBS did it. I did, but I'm a little younger than you guys, so I remember Columbia House movie subscriptions.
We had
Gilligan's Island, Columbia House. So my dad had this like long shelf of just tapes. Full, complete collection of Gilligan's Island, and we had Andy Griffith as well. And I used to watch those. That was the easy thing. If like we didn't know what to watch, you just put on Andy Griffith. Easy. Right. Everybody likes it. Everybody laughs. And man, dude, fuck, this is me. And this show, that's what I love doing this show. Cause now I'm like, fuck, I want to watch some Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
And I never like want to watch Andy Griffith. You know what I mean? And that's what I love about kind of reminiscing on all these things that we like, is I just remember, man, I just love those old shows. I totally want to dive in.
I'm interested to see if you have this reaction, because last year I watched Cheers as a kid, but I don't remember very specifics of it. But Amber and I, about a year or so ago, started watching Cheers. And this feeling came over me every time the theme song started, and then whatever actor that week said, you know, Cheers is taped in front of a live studio audience, right? And I remember that was always the time that, like, when Cheers came on, it was time for me to go upstairs and go to bed. But something about the opening theme song and, like, that line about being recorded in front of a studio audience, all of a sudden, when we watched it, it felt like I had this sense of warmth and this comfort blanket just came over me, and it was like, oh, I can go to sleep now and be, like, happy and, like, just totally relaxed me like I was a kid again. It was really weird, strange feeling that comes over me when I revisit some of these old shows now.
Yeah, it's pure nostalgia. It's like an injection of nostalgia right into your vein.
Right.
So as this show is injecting nostalgia into our veins, suddenly it throws us curveballs. What do we think of the overall scenario? I thought that like the rapid pregnancy was really cool. And really weird and a good, I love that they feel like premises for old sitcoms that are totally within the Marvel universe. It's hilarious. Yeah. It's like, what would be a Marvel WandaVision 1960s premise? Maybe she has a pregnancy that happens over a day.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Yeah, and that would be a whole season on the Brady Bunch. But in Wanda world, it's one day. And I think that's a really cool, interesting way to do it. And they're just really, it's really good. And it looks really good. And I love the aspect ratio changes.
Yes.
When they jump and when it takes you in and out of world to world. And, you know, it sort of ends with her shooting her neighbor out of what appears to be some sort of force field and landing. And then all these, you know,
it's like the Truman Show.
Yeah. Like faceless men in black kind of land outside this bubble. And that's kind of where we're left. Theorizing, what do we think's going on, Cisco?
Oh, man. I honestly have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the clues that they leave us with is that they're all in this bubble. Probably all working in conjunction to keep Wanda safe, quote unquote. You know, everything else is her imagination. So I read an interesting theory, actually, that I think might be kind of cool, which is that Wanda is in control of all the neighbors. So all of the characters in the show are under her control, which I think is kind of an interesting premise.
Interesting. I
there's that weird moment where Vision comes out and sees the neighbor chainsawing through the brick. Yeah. And that seems like a weird thing where him and the Agnes, I think is her name, where they're broken. Like they're both broken in a way. And it was happening during an intense time in what Wanda was going through.
Well, and there was also that weird situation where all of a sudden it does this weird cut with Vision in a different moment. And mm-hmm. he kind of goes back and changes what he said or something. I can't remember the specifics of it.
Yeah.
I have a theory, and I haven't read anything on the internet about it. I just literally, it just came to me right now. You know, I'm wondering if this kind of takes place after one of her, like whether it was in, is it, in, which one is it where, in, is it where they, she throws Cap up into the building and then she has like
Ultron. Something.
Is it Ultron? And I have a feeling that they have her somewhere in a space where she can't, till they can figure out how to control her powers or whatever, she's in some sort of incubated sort of in this place that what if she does have a freak out, it won't go outside of this bubble.
Right.
And like jeopardize humanity.
And so
go ahead, Cisco.
So I don't know if people know what SWORD is, you know, in the Marvel universe. So in the Marvel universe, SWORD is an offshoot of SHIELD, but on like a sort of intergalactic planetary scale. They protect Earth from bigger forces than like SHIELD protects humanity from like Hydra and stuff like that, right?
They're boots on the ground.
Yeah, SWORD would be more like alien invasion type shit. Now that it's there's something that that somebody broke down that it means something different in the MCU. But either way, I think that they seem to be trying to protect either Wanda from herself or everyone else from Wanda during a time when she has lost control of her powers, which would make sense in the world where she's lost Vision. The last time we see her is at the end of Endgame. Vision's gone and it's her and Hawkeye sort of having that moment together. And in the comic books, Wanda has a history of when bad shit happens to her, losing it and everything goes to hell.
I think it's a combination of both of your theories. I think somehow she's trapped herself in this. I think she's very much in control of the world, but I think she's either trapped in there and has created it or has like created it. And now all those people around it are like, don't mess with it. Like, let her be in this world. Like, it's better if she just has this, like, you know what I mean? So I'm wondering if it's a combination of both of those ideas or you know, this big cameo is going to be something even crazier. And it's like, oh yeah, none of what you thought was happening. And it's sure. really this, and this is a computer simulation while Vision reboots. And we're like, what? You know what I mean? It could be something crazy like that. You know, who knows? And then this whole time you think it's Wanda, but it's really Vision. And then you find out Wanda's trying to save him from these people. Or some shit. It could be something totally out of left field. Like if you were going to really fuck with people, you would break it and you would actually make it something that's happening in Vision and they're trying to like rebuild him or regenerate him. And Wanda's actually on the outside trying to get in or something.
You know what? You just sparked something. Now, am I crazy or does that force field feel very Wakandan?
I mean, that's basically what they do, right? They block Wakanda with their cool force field.
Yeah.
And what, right before Vision dies, where were they? And what was Shuri doing to Vision?
Oh, shit.
Hold on.
Oh, shit.
Cisco, you get.
Look at that.
I get that only was inspired by Alex's.
Well, I just, you know, I always think about what's the most obvious thing and then how do you break it? Right. How, cause this show definitely wants to, it's not going to be exactly what we think it is. There's gotta be a trick or else okay. It's like, so, why piecemeal it out?
So now you know? Let's put it this way. We know that in the MCU currently, Wanda got her powers from an Infinity Stone. right? Now, yes. If they're trying to bring back Vision, if she's trying to bring back Vision, she could be trying to do it. I mean, we've seen her do some reality altering shit in this show already. She could be trying to use her powers to recreate him using a different stone, right? Because he was created initially with the
Mind Stone, right?
Mind Stone, I think. Yeah. So you know, using her powers to recreate a new stone. I don't know, but you know, she's got stone in her, stone powers in her.
She's a those power trolls. Remember those guys from the 90s? Are stones or power glow? Yes. Remember those guys? Well, they were like buff trolls.
So, yeah.
I do remember those. Yeah, yeah.
Paul Bettany did an interview this week, and he mentioned that, you know, he's surprised. He's like, everything gets leaked nowadays. He says, but there's this thing that has been completely under wraps that happens, and I work with this actor that I've always wanted to work with, and we have fireworks together. He explains, the scenes are great, and I think people are going to be really excited. I've always wanted to work with this guy, and the scenes are pretty intense.
So it's somebody new.
Who could it be?
Because Vision would have been with any of our main.
Well, and that's the thing, MCU. Is for a second there when you guys were talking Wakanda and shit, because everyone, he's saying that, like, he says that he also teased viewers.
Well, not everybody, though.
Well, he teased viewers that MCU fans especially will be massively surprised by how the show ends. I really think people are going to be like, oh my God. And they're going to look at the MCU in a whole new light and also have a much deeper understanding in what direction it's moving.
There are characters in the MCU that he hasn't had too much work
with. For a second there, I went, when you brought up Wakanda and you brought up all of that, is there a possibility that Chadwick Boseman filmed?
Yeah, I think there's a possibility.
A cameo before.
And I don't think he's shot anything or done anything with Black Panther or Chadwick Boseman prior to this. So.
I mean, that would be mind melting. I feel like they would not want to use that as a big reveal or tease. It might be in poor taste. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just wondering, like, I don't know if like revealing Chadwick Boseman, like, oh, look, you didn't even know we had all this footage of him, might be in poor taste a little bit. Like,
right.
It might be triggering in a way. Like, I don't know that I would admit it would be cool. Don't get me wrong. I'd be like, whoa, Black Panther one last time. But also like it would be like if they didn't tell us Carrie was in The Rise of Skywalker. You know what I mean? Everyone, Carrie's in this. Oh,
right.
Oh, like, I don't know that it would have the effect that you think it does. Cause you know, Chadwick is a tragedy.
Yeah.
Less than a year ago, died of colon cancer. Like, I don't think everyone's like, oh my gosh, Chadwick Boseman. They would be like, oh yeah, I guess he probably shot this before he died.
It's it's one of those things where I knew about this quote and everything before we did our show, and I pulled everything from it. But in us talking and kind of going down the rabbit hole, I went, oh my God, what if he's talking about, you know? But then when I reread the quote, I really feel like, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't want to put too much like stock Patrick in it, Stewart but it, like, I mean, that would be, like, that would be insane.
If they do that, if they bring in the X-Men through WandaVision, that would be fucking wild. I feel like an idiot. Well, even
he could get into Wanda's head. Well, the fact that he could get into Wanda's head, like,
I think it's more of a possibility than you might want to believe it is, Alex. I think that, like, it's the perfect venue to bring them in.
And at first I thought it was Aaron Taylor Johnson, Quicksilver, that was like, Wanda, what are they doing to you, or whatever, that voice that comes over the thing. If it's not Patrick Stewart, is it McAvoy?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
But man, like, you would, so they would be then committing to those X-Men being the X-Men in the MCU.
Well, it's this, I mean, that would also be the same with Patrick Stewart, but yeah.
No, I know.
Patrick Stewart could just be Patrick Stewart, though. You know, and then it's just one Xavier.
Like, he's always old Xavier, Patrick Stewart. Yeah. And then they use young Xavier for new stuff. I think that, honestly, my guess is that it's not.
Right.
X-Men. I just don't see them. Like, if you just, like, take a step back from our, like, nerd boners for a second. Like, really think about it, right? Like,
what do you call it? Cognitive dissonance?
You're Feige. And I'm Kevin Feige, and you guys are Bob Iger and the shareholders. And I come in, I'm like, okay, so you guys just bought 20th Century Fox for how much? Like, what, $6 billion? Thank God, because we got the X-Men franchise. Here's what I want to do. On episode 4 of WandaVision, without anybody knowing, I want to introduce Patrick Stewart and tie in the Fox universe. They'd be like, are you fucking joking? No, like, we're not doing that, because we're going to make 900 fucking X-Men movies with new cast. We're going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars. You can't have X-Men until they're on the cinematic screen, or you get to make an entire television show that's all X-Men, and you have to start from scratch to get people excited. If you look at it clearly from dollars and cents, it doesn't make sense to bring him in. But again, Kevin Feige is the gold standard, and he can do whatever he wants. But as I think about it, I go, I just don't see it being X-Men. But that would be rad. I just don't think that would be the case, right? Like, also, we also did say that there's no way Mark Hamill's going to be in Mandalorian. So sure. Don't trust us.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, who knows? What do we know?
Vision,
we don't know.
Has Vision worked with Doctor Strange?
Yes.
I'm trying to think.
Because I know that this is somehow supposed to lead up to
Madness in the Multiverse.
The only time that they would have been in Infinity War, and no, they don't. Because I think that he's off planet the whole time.
With, Tony.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man. Now, I'll tell you that sounds super interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Doing Doctor Strange in it. Because he can kind of sort of like pontificate on the reality bending and what's happening and what's going on with Wanda. But like, it's interesting to me, though. What's really telling, too, is that this is happening with Vision. So if it's happening with Vision, and if the original theory is this is Wanda's world where she's placed Vision in it, Vision's having a scene. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That complicates it. So then I go, does that go back to this theory where it's like, they want us to think that Wanda's doing this, but it's actually Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And Wanda's trying to get in to do something to get Vision back or something. I don't know. This is all super speculative, silly for us to even do it. And honestly, I love it because we're a podcast now. We don't have to deal with a bunch of comments and a whole bunch of diatribes about how we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But this is pretty cool. I'm really excited now. So it's this week is the rumor, or we don't know which week the episode
tonight,
is.
Tonight's episode, right?
Tomorrow's episode.
If this episode that we're on right now talking airs tomorrow morning.
Oh, yes. Wow. Very producerial of you. Good catch, dude. Totally forgot. This is actually Thursday.
I'm just confirming really quick to make sure I read it correctly. The original,
because we've got to be getting to the point where they're going to start spilling more beans.
We've got to get more. Yeah.
Is it 9 episodes?
I think it's 9. So okay. We've already done 3. So there's 6 episodes left. Yeah. So we're due for the first big ripple, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the...
Because we know we have 80s. We definitely have seen 80s in the trailer. So they're going to be like an 80s sitcom.
Yeah, he says that people's minds are going to explode once they see episode 4 of the series, which debuts this Friday.
Listen to the words. Mind is going to explode.
What if it's Thanos? we sound like the internet.
I hate it. I'm going to bed.
Thanos.
Really? That'd be wild if Thanos was like, I'm sorry for what I did to you, but it was a must. I'm Josh Brolin.
And so to end this episode the way we sort of started with Brown Eyes, one last thing about Paul Bettany. Apparently Josh Whedon wanted Vision to have a penis.
I mean, listen, if you're going to create a synthezoid, give him a penis.
He doesn't have a rock harder?
So this is
one of the big... Have we seen him without pants?
Well, when he was born, I think he came out... Well, no, he just came out like...
Red guy, right?
Red guy, yeah. I don't know. There's a picture floating around on the internet of him coming out of that tube with like a blur over where his schlong should be.
Yeah, because I mean, technically he gets Wanda pregnant.
Well, that's the whole issue, right? Like,
did he get her pregnant?
How can a synthezoid get a human being pregnant?
So apparently that, he says, I know that Josh Whedon apparently really, really wanted the rendition of Vision when he is first born, before he was clothed. He was like, he's got to have a penis. And everyone, Feige, D'Esposito, everybody was like, I don't know, Josh. I mean, I'm not sure.
Joss Whedon, man, every year that goes by, you get weirder and weirder. You were like the golden boy for so long. What happened to you, man?
Really, talk about the, oh, how the mighty have gotten weird.
Remember like, when Joss Whedon was like the king of the world? He had like Buffy was killing it. Inclusivity, fucking Avengers was like the biggest movie ever made, and everybody couldn't believe that he pulled it off, and it was just like Joss Whedon, the GOAT. And now look at him. Dude's like...
Got the Snyder cut and Vision's cock.
I feel like it just got to his head, and then Ultron happened, and then Justice League reshoots.
I think Ultron broke him. I think Ultron broke him. Yeah, I think that's something that he might have talked about, but I don't know that that changed. I mean, he might have been an asshole.
Ultron is his Citizen Kane.
I still really hope, though. I wish, and they never would do it. How cool would it be? And not to get all Snyder cutty, I would love to see his like 3-hour Ultron with all the extra stuff they shot. Yeah. They cut out what 45 minute, an obscene amount of time in that movie. And it's already almost 3 hours long.
Right.
And they cut out all that shit with Thor. There's like a whole Thor storyline they cut out. I'll be honest with you.
That was the movie that sort of, I was like, That's the movie that sort of staled Marvel for me.
Because it's one of those things, right? It's like everything's going so well, and then one domino falls, and you go, oh, are these all kind of the same? I don't know that I like these. And then what they did in their defense, Steve, right after that movie followed Guardians of the Galaxy. That's why.
Oh, was it? Because I feel like that and Thor 2, I was just sort of like, huh? And now thinking about it, I'm like, I think it's one of those cases where I need to go back and, like the old man I am, and throw the captions on while I'm watching it.
Thor 2 followed Avengers 1. It was the first one after Avengers 1.
Got it.
And Avengers 1 is so fun and so exciting, and it was such a breath of fresh air in the superhero movie world. And then right into Thor Dark World, where you're like, what is this weird Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings superhero movie I'm watching? I don't like it. And then the next one, I believe, was Winter Soldier. Correct me if I'm wrong, Disco. Or was it Iron Man 3?
I don't remember the order, man.
Shit. All I know is that I think Thor is right, or is Thor right after Ultron? Shit, I don't remember. It's after one really good one, and you're like, man.
I will not lie. I like Thor Dark World. So it goes. It's the order. Order of release.
Yeah, hit us with it.
Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, First Avenger, Avengers, Iron Man 3, directly after Avengers, Thor Dark World, which are two duds, basically.
I love Iron Man 3, actually. I like it better than 2,
but it's still not great. Then you get Winter Soldier right after Dark World. Then you get Guardians of the Galaxy, both in 2014. Then you get Avengers Ultron.
Oof, Ultron came after Winter Soldier and Galaxy. That's probably why for me.
And then it's immediately followed by Ant-Man and Civil War, which are both good. Awesome. And then Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which is sort of just like, okay.
Batten, batten, batten.
That's what Spider-Man I'm saying.
Spider-Man Homecoming, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Endgame.
That, like, the trajectory of that studio is only up. It has a little dip.
It's only got, like, three little dips, which is Iron Man 2, Ultron, and
Incredible Hulk is not great.
And Thor 2. Yeah, but I like the Incredible Hulk, but I don't necessarily count it because that was still sort of in.
Well, they kind of deal pretend with, it doesn't deal exist
with
either.
In deal with Universal. Right. The only thing they take from it is William Hurt and now Homeboy that's going to be in the She-Hulk show, Tim Roth.
Oh, he's going to be in the She-Hulk show?
Yeah.
As Abomination?
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, him and Ruffalo are coming back.
I love Ruffalo.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked. I think it's just really nice to have the MCU back.
Yeah,
talk about something you're really missing. I definitely miss MCU in the theaters. Like,
I want to see Black Widow so bad.
I know, dude. I really want to watch
Black Widow. It hasn't been official, but we're getting more of those. And we'll probably find out Eternals. Again. It's being pushed again.
Eternals, too.
You think they might Disney Plus Black Widow, or you think it's just like, it just stands to make too much money?
I think it stands to make too much money. The way they're acting, like, it's...
Yeah. They've got WandaVision and all these shows they can milk. That's what they're going to do. I just
feel like they're not.
You got Loki next, right? Loki next, then the Bucky and Winter Soldier next. That's next, and then Loki.
Yeah. And Loki.
Yeah.
And then Hawkeye, I think. But by that point, we're in 2022.
Yeah, because Hawkeye's wrapping up filming right now.
Right.
Yeah, so, we're going to be, because they just started filming, I think day one of Love and Thunder was a couple days ago.
Yeah, it was.
Taika started Love and Thunder. It was.
And I got a couple friends that out of nowhere, all of a sudden, just got out of quarantine in New Zealand. And I'm wondering, what the hell are they doing over there in New Zealand right now filming? Yeah, got a couple of friends on the old IG with their IG stories going into quarantine. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, out in New Zealand with their masks off.
Don't tell me their names, but what do they do for a living?
Oh, you've worked. We've directed one in some VO sessions recently. I want to know what he's working on. And then he posted a photo of him with a green screen in the background. Yeah. Yeah. I want to know what's up.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Anyhow.
Wild.
Anyhow, I've thoroughly enjoyed this episode, guys.
Wonderful. Can't wait for episode 4.
You know that scene in Scott Pilgrim where Knives says to Brie Larson, "I've kissed the lips that have kissed you." I hope I get to say to Taika, "I've directed the lips that have kissed your directing lips." Cisco, where can the people find you at home?
Instagram and Twitter, Cisco Kid with 2D77.
Steve, where can the people find you at home?
You can find me on Twitter at Rex Manning. And if you're interested in finding out what I thought about Fatale, you can check my rating out on Letterboxd. Alex, where can the people at home find you?
They can find me at Alex_Backus on Twitter or at AlexBackus on Instagram. I'm also at www.alexdoesstuff.com. There you can see all the fun creative stuff I'm working on. I am also on Letterboxd. I just did a huge push of tons of new reviews. My goal is to get 1,000 movies on there pretty soon. I'm trying to do every movie I've ever seen. It is the best. But guys, we're in next week. I can't wait for you guys to hear the theme. I think you're going to be really excited about what we're doing next month. With that being said, we will see you next time on BSR.
Guys, I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with that little baby shit.